Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples this question: Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who is this man that you've been following? What is this religion that you are beginning to practice? And they answered him, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is Peter's short confession, but it's also known as Peter's great confession. Because in these words, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, we really have the full picture of who Jesus is and what he came down to do for us. And when we have the full picture of who Jesus is and what he came down to do for us, we have the full picture of what the gospel is. We have the full picture of what the Christian religion is. The Christian religion is not just another set of rules that we have to follow in order to get ourselves into heaven. The Christian religion is not just a rule book that teaches us the way to claw our way back to God. But the Christian religion is that we could never do that by our own strength or power because of our sin. Our sin infinitely separates us from God. But thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that God has come down to us. God has come down to us in human flesh, and this Son of God, Jesus Christ, is our Savior. That's the full summary of what Peter's talking about when he says, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's saying that Jesus, this man standing right in front of him, is God. And he's saying that this man standing right in front of him is the one who has come to save him. God in the flesh who has come down to save him from his sin. Not because of anything that Peter or you or me or anybody else has ever done. Not because of anything that Peter or you or me could ever boast of or anything about ourselves, but purely because of the grace of God, purely because of the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that he wanted to be with you, came down to earth to be one of you, died on the cross in order that you might be with him forever through the forgiveness of your sins. This is the gospel. This is the Christian religion. This is what Peter so boldly proclaimed on that day, and that is what Paul was wanting to preserve in Galatians chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 15. But then what was the problem? What was the problem that was going on in Acts chapter 15 and Galatians chapter 2 that Luke and then Paul were recounting? To quote from Acts chapter 15, Some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And then they would also go on to say that the Gentiles needed to be forced to follow the law of Moses in order to truly be called Christians, in order to truly be saved. And do you see why this was a problem that men started proclaiming this? Do you see what they're really saying when you dig underneath the surface? Jesus comes to this world proclaiming a gospel of free grace given through the price of his blood shed on the cross. That salvation is a gift to you, not because of anything that you have done, not because of anything about who you are, but because Jesus is so merciful to you. But then somebody else comes in and starts saying, in order to be a Christian, in order to actually be saved, you have to do this particular thing that I think you should do. And that's a problem. That's a problem. Because any time that we say that in order to be saved, you must have Jesus and something else, whether that's Jesus and the law of Moses, Jesus and circumcision, or Jesus and whatever somebody might fill in that blank with, what are you really taking away from? You're taking away from Jesus. You're taking away from Jesus in who he is and what he has done for you. You're saying that Jesus in his blood shed on the cross for your salvation wasn't enough, but actually more needs to be added to it. And if you're saying that the thing that needs to be added to it is your work, then you're taking away from Jesus and you're really just puffing yourself up. You're putting responsibility and credit for your salvation on yourself, on your own shoulders. Taking the glory that belongs to God, taking the glory that belongs to Jesus, and giving it to yourself. And when you look at it that way, you can understand why this was such a problem. You can understand why this caused so many arguments in Acts chapter 15 and why Paul had to write a whole letter about this to the Galatians. Because once you let that slip, once you're willing to say that salvation is because of Jesus and something else, you really miss the whole gospel. Because that something else will continue to be bigger and bigger. Once you let it in, it will start to become more and more important in the equation, and Jesus starts to be less and less. Until finally, like St. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, you've found yourself just completely under the yoke of the law and sin, in slavery to sin once again. Jesus, in his grace and his mercy, has been completely taken out. And dear friends in Christ, we can't have that. Dear friends in Christ, that is not how we are saved. Because God has declared to us through his Son and through his Holy Scriptures that salvation comes through grace. That salvation comes through the blood of Christ. So this we must boldly hold to. This we must boldly proclaim. And that's the message that our texts have for us today. That's the message that Peter and Paul had for the church in their day. That's the message that still lives on today to be given to you. That through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we will be saved. We are saved by the grace of Christ alone. This is what Peter was confessing in Matthew chapter 16. And the rest of the scriptures proclaim this to be true as well. You know this verse very well. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You have life because of faith in what Jesus has done for you. St. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you believe in Jesus and if you confess his name, you will be saved. And then why is that? St. Paul says in Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. It's the work of Christ, a propitiation by his blood, and it's received by us by faith. Not because of who we are. Peter says this in Acts chapter 15. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. And Paul there is talking about Jews and Gentiles. God didn't just save the Jews because of who they were. God doesn't just save the Gentiles because of any particular quality about them. God makes no distinction between them in regards to salvation any longer, but he cleanses both of their hearts by faith. And also, our salvation is not because of anything that we have done or will do in the future. And that's what St. Paul so clearly and boldly proclaims in Galatians chapter 2. Now, therefore, why are you... Sorry, this is actually Peter's quote from Acts chapter 15. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will. As St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And why do we make such a big deal about this? Why do we talk about this so much, that salvation comes by grace through faith alone as a gift given to us by God? This isn't just some Lutheran particularity that we won't stop talking about. This isn't just something that we, you know, annoy Roman Catholics with or something like that. This is the gospel. This is what the scriptures proclaim. And like I said at the beginning, once we start to stray away from this message, we lose everything. We lose salvation itself, which is why we have to proclaim it boldly. And like St. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, cannot compromise on it for an instant. Any error brought in to the equation regarding salvation always takes away credit from our Lord Jesus Christ and gives it to us. If I say that I'm saved because of who I am, this puts some of the credit on me, and it takes it away from the free grace of Christ. But the gospel so clearly tells us, St. Paul says in Romans 5, 8, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't just look at you and say, well, this guy's pretty great. He is worthy to die for. To the contrary, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies with God, Christ died for us and made us to be at peace with God. And if I get to the point where I say that I'm saved, even in part, even just a little bit because of what I've done, then I take away the credit from Christ and I give it to myself. Like St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And the other part of that is that I minimize my own sin. If I think that my own works could win my salvation, I must not think that my sin is that big of a deal. When I really get down to it, if I think that I could move the balance at all, then I must think that my sin really isn't that bad after all. All I have to do is be a respectable person in public, and then, you know, God would probably let me into heaven. But that is not the way the Bible talks. St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 3 the great weight of our sin. There is no one who is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks after God. And when we hear all of the ways that the Bible talks about our sin, when we look into the perfect law of God and see all the ways that we have personally fallen short, we know that there's no possible way that we could reverse this at all, that we could make it better at all by our own power, by our own work. It would just be trying to clean a muddy garment with more mud. It's simply not going to work. That's why it has to be through the pure grace of Christ. That's why it has to be through the gift of his own blood. And in addition to all of this, if I'm saying that part of my salvation is my own doing, I'm putting a heavy burden on myself that no one is able to bear. That's what was going on in Acts chapter 15 and Galatians chapter 2. Yet because false brothers secretly brought in who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so that they might bring us to slavery. And then also St. Peter said in Acts chapter 15, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? If we start thinking that we're the ones that can save ourselves and have to save ourselves, we are eventually going to be crushed with the weight of our sin and the weight of the burden of that responsibility. So dear friends in Christ, just simply do what Jesus invites us to do. Put that weight on his shoulders. He wants to take the burden of our sin upon himself. He wants to pay the penalty for our sin. And when he does so, this is a great weight off our shoulders. This is the only way that we can find salvation. And certainly, we are called to good works. We are called to walk in the ways of Christ. St. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And St. Paul goes on to say in Romans 6, 1 through 2, shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? By no means. So I'm certainly not saying that Christians are not called to do good works. Christians are called to walk in the ways of Christ. We are called to follow the law and the will of God and to put away the works of darkness. And anyone trying to tell you that true Christianity says that we should just celebrate and indulge in the works of darkness because God will just forgive us anyway, that is a false gospel. That is a lie that you should flee from. So I'm not saying that. But I am saying that if we ever get to the point where we're saying those good works that God has called us to do and works in us are actually the thing that saves us, or if we're saying that we have to follow the law of Moses in order to be saved, these are the things that take credit away from Christ, and these are the things that compromise the gospel. So yes, go forth and do good works. Go forth and follow the law of Christ. That is what you are called to do. But that's not the thing that saves you. That is a response that you have to your salvation. Because Christ has cleansed you, you then walk in the way that he has called you to do. Salvation by grace through faith properly glorifies Christ as the Son of God, our Savior. And anything else takes away the glory from Christ and either makes us prideful or causes us to despair in the end. Like St. Paul and St. Peter, we boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ, and this can never be taken away from us. Like St. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And then like Jesus said to Peter, this message that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we find life in his name, this is the rock on which he will build his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.